we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. You're in live right now on the Cavaliers YouTube and X channels. Great big show planned for you guys today. NBA Finals, all of a sudden, a little bit of juice. What a difference a game makes. Holy crap. John Mettler and I are going to recap what we saw in Game 4 of the series and, of course, look ahead to Game 5 here tonight with the Mavs trying to extend things in Boston and, of course, a handful of picks for Major League Baseball. If you're watching the show, if you want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube and on X. Let us know what some of your best bets are for the NBA game tonight and in Major League Baseball as well. Okay, let's bring in our guy, the Magic Ass Man, the pride of Ontario, Canada, the entire province, John Mettler. John, how are you?
Good. I had a good Father's Day at the Meyer LPGA Classic. My dad always delivers. It was a great tournament. And like you said, we got juice in the NBA Finals now, which is exciting after the Mavericks blew them out. Were they up by 48 at one point? That was insane. I'm good. So hope the Mavericks win tonight because then it gets really, really interesting.
Yeah, a little bit of juice in the NBA playoffs. And, of course, the NBA Finals needs us as well. Here we were on Friday talking about let's just put this to an end. Let's put this to bed. Let's get to the draft. Let's get to the offseason. Thinking that the Celtics are going to come out and finally cross that finish line. They've been close to that finish line for multiple seasons now. And they had one of their worst performances of the entire season. No doubt about it, it was their worst performance of the playoffs. It was one of the worst performances in the history of the NBA Finals. Losing by 38 points in a closeout game? Really? Now, the Celtics, sometimes they have this reputation, not always fair. Some people call them soft. You know, one of these teams, hey, they play great when they're up by 12. Maybe not in a tight game versus a good team. They're not necessarily at their best all the time. But I think it was Charles Barkley who said it best after the game. He said that was flat out embarrassing by the Celtics. What did they think? The Mavs were just going to lay down? The Mavs weren't looking to hit the golf course or 1-2-3 Cancun, as the people like to say. So, yeah, it kind of breathed a little bit of life into the narrative that the Celtics are soft. You know, Joe Mazzulla has put a lot of the questions to rest about him not necessarily being a great coach, but I think those questions came up again. I think a lot of the blame has to fall on his shoulders. He quite simply did not have them prepared. They looked tight. They looked like they were feeling the pressure of finally being able to cross that finish line. And obviously they weren't able to do it. John, what did you make of the Celtics performance in game four?
I felt like in the early stage, I mean, the only part of the game that was competitive was the early stages, but I did feel like in the early stages, it did look like Jason Tatum to me kind of wanted to be the reason that they won game four and obviously won the NBA finals. They, you know, the Celtics have a very free flowing offense. Everyone touches it, lots of actions, lots of movement. You know, the ball swinging around the three-point line. And to me, the ball kind of always looked stuck once it went to Tatum. He was kind of looking to go a lot more one-on-one and stuff. That was just like my takeaway. And then I felt like my takeaway was backed up because they showed like Joe Mazzulla wired in the one timeout saying like, we're only doing one action and then we're getting up a shot. And then we're not running multiple things. Like, and then it didn't really change though. Even after that timeout, I think Doris Burke pointed it out too. It's just like, it was like one pass shot. It just seemed... their offense seemed off to me. It looked like Jason Tatum was trying to catch Jaylen Brown for finals MVP. Like he wants to be the reason why they won. I don't know if that's true or not. That's not really the role he played in the first three games. It just, the ball, I had Horford over assist and Derek White over assist. So you're kind of watching like the flow of offense and it constantly looks stuck once it got to Tatum. So I expect obviously a little bit different tonight because Mazzulla was harping on them like we need more actions than just one to attack this defense.
Yeah, Jason Tatum, talk about a guy who's in his head. Now, I talked about this a lot last week and going into the finals, how Tatum had this quote going into game one, how scoring isn't everything. There's more than just scoring to basketball, which obviously is true, but I think he was kind of putting that out there to take a little bit of pressure off of himself. That's backfired big time. I think he scored fewer than 20 points in three of the four games. And now he has this other quote, if we don't win game five, it's not the end of the world. I guess that's true, but why is he even putting that out there? I think he says this stuff to try to take the pressure off of himself. So I do think he's absolutely feeling it out there. And oh my God, John, it was, this series was such a buzzkill. The Celtics go up 3-0, put us out of our misery. Let's get to the end of it. But if the Mavs win tonight, might be like a snowball going downhill, picking up momentum. And that pressure that I think the Celtics are feeling, it's only going to get more and more and more if the potential to blow a three-game lead is there, right?
Yeah, if I like Jason Tatum saying they don't need to win tonight, I would put a huge emphasis on winning tonight. The last thing you want to do is go back to Dallas 3-2. That place will be rocking because all of a sudden they think they honestly have a chance to win. And like I pointed out, I was talking to you in the pre-show, I think the last thing the Celtics want to do is go into a game seven. Luka Doncic just seems like built for that moment of like a game seven on the road, TD Garden, where like he might come out and just absolutely step on their throat and like the Celtics won't even know what hit them. And then like, then your mind kind of starts to race where it's like, we were up 3-0. Why are we down in the first quarter here in a game seven at home? He did it to the Timberwolves game five, where he just walked into Minnesota and was like, nope, the series is over. And he had like 20 points in the first quarter. He was talking shit to everyone sitting courtside and stuff like that. I think Luka Doncic is the last person you want to put into a game seven in that environment where he feels like he can win it. And the lights are very, very bright. If the Celtics don't close it out tonight, like we were saying at the beginning, this gets really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be a very, very depressing plane ride if the Celtics have to fly back down to Texas for a game six. So we'll see what happens tonight. Checking out the live chat right now, appears to be some Celtics lovers in there. Kevin, he likes the Celtics minus 19.5. I do wonder what that is paying. And Pokey Lewis says, Celtics want to win at home. Of course they want to, but I guarantee they wanted to win game four on the road. I see some, hey, they want to win at home in front of their fans. At this level of the sport, teams do not fuck around in this situation. So don't think for a second that they weren't giving their full effort there in game four down in beautiful Dallas, Texas. And producer Dell weighing in, Mavericks win tonight, they win the championship. I think he meant to say if the Mavericks win tonight. I think the Celtics are feeling the pressure here. And if they don't get off to a good start tonight, they could be in trouble. Okay, John, let's get into the picks. We have five total, 2 for me, 3 for you. Let's start with me. Let's go with the good old-fashioned full game spread bet. I'm going with the underdog. Yeah, I've been flip-flopping quite a bit in this series. So what? Giving the Mavericks plus 6.5. So a lot of statistics favor the Mavericks, some by a very wide margin. So, yeah, the Celtics absolutely blew them out of the water in game one. But look at the last three games. Dallas has a higher effective field goal shooting percentage, specifically shooting the three-pointer better, a much higher free throw attempt rate. They're turning it over less. And they have owned the paint in this series. Big offensive rebound advantage. They're averaging 16.5 more points in the paint in this series compared to Boston, who's very dependent on their outside shooting. So if those shots from the outside aren't dropping, they might be in trouble here. And like I said, I think the Celtics are feeling the pressure to close things out here. I think they played very tight. You have Tatum with that weird quote, if we don't win in game five, it's not the end of the world. He's doing too much to try to take the pressure off of himself. Just go out there and play. And Boston very well might win this one, but I do think Dallas will give them a game and cover that number, 6.5 points for the underdog. Okay, John, PJ Washington, what do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going PJ Washington over 11.5 points, minus 125. So you look at, I played this in game two, it was 11.5. I think a pretty similar juice. Then he scored 17, it jumped to 14.5. Now, he went under in game three, but he scored 13. So technically, that's still over this number, but he went under the adjusted number. And then last game, you know, he only plays 13 minutes. He only scores 6 points. That might scare you. To me, that shouldn't bother you at all. He had 3 fouls in the first half, so that sent him to the bench in the first half. Then he comes back for the second half. He picked up a 4th foul, but also the game was just completely out of hand. So it's not that, like, his role has fallen off or, like, he's not going to see minutes. It's just a combination of, there's foul trouble, the score, he's not going to come back. Nobody played in the fourth quarter. And then now you're seeing this total come back 11.5 just because, you know, he's gone under back-to-back games here. At 11.5, I love the over. It's just the adjustment down. I'm going to play the over. For me, PJ Washington, you know, he's typically a stay in the corner, 3-point shooter kind of guy. That's not his role in this series at all. Even at the beginning of last game, it didn't result in buckets, but they ran a post up for him. He got in the lane. He fell and like lost the ball. He's the one thing that really stands out to me too, is he's hitting those above the break 3-pointers, which they've been giving up. He didn't in the first couple of games. He is now. So that's also like a huge boost. If he's knocking down those shots, and then you combine with what you're seeing him as a screener transition, they want to push the ball. If he's a big, he's one of those players, like if you're pushing the ball, it's not necessarily going to be Luka scoring in transition. It'll be Kyrie, PJ Washington. He's someone in transition who can get layups. 11.5. I love this over for PJ Washington.
Okay. So I've been flip-flopping on the side in this series. I have not been flip-flopping on the totals though, and I'm going to stick with what I've been doing. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm back on the under tonight, total down to 209.5. And we have seen a low scoring pattern in this series. Average combined score of just 202.5 in the four games so far. We'll pick on Jason Tatum a little bit again here. So poor shooting by Tatum is leading to a lot of empty possessions. So when your top shot taker is having a poor series shooting the ball, it will impact the total, no doubt about it. Field goal percentage of just 36.5 in this series. That's worse than the previous three series so far in the playoffs here. You got to pinpoint the three-point shooting, 29% from downtown here for Tatum. And I still do think the Dallas Mavericks have some question marks despite winning one game. You don't want to go too crazy off that big game they had last time out. So my question for them is, will Dallas be let down by their bench and Kyrie once again, specifically on the road? So games 1 and 2 in Boston, obviously Kyrie had 12 and 16 points. Bench scoring was basically non-existent. So yeah, we'll see who shows up and who doesn't, but I think we're in for another low scoring affair, something that will hover around the 200 point mark. Two more for John here. Derek White, what do you like for him?
So I'm going back to this one. I did this in last game. It didn't hit. Derek White over 4.5 assists, plus 145 now. We got grabbed at plus 140. It's only 5 cents better. This isn't the milestones at Bet365. It's an alternate total. You're mostly seeing a 3.5, like minus 160 for Derek White. But with the projection we have, your higher expected value is going after this alternate total. For one, I don't think Kristaps Porzingis is playing. And I made this graphic, I don't know, maybe like a half hour ago or so. But before we came on air here, Shams was talking about Porzingis is only really going to play in a situation which might be like to come in to guard an inbounds pass or like a one play for like a block. So this guy's not, they're not anticipating him playing any minutes at all, even if he does just randomly come into the game. What that does is it moves White out of the dunker spot and more onto the perimeter where he is on the ball more. There should be more opportunity for potential assists. The one thing I do like, you know, the Mavericks, they close that 3-point gap in last game, which is a big reason of why they won. They need to continue to close the 3-point shooting on the Celtics. It's really their only way they can win. White leads the whole NBA Finals in threes made. He's someone you have to run off the line. They can't just letting him, you have to close out aggressively too on, because you've seen he hit some crazy 3-point shots all the time. And if they're making an effort to run at him and get him off the 3-point line to close that 3-point gap, he's someone he'll get in the lane. He'll put the ball on the floor, and he's a very willing passer. Once he gets in the lane, he is someone who kind of will just like weave his way through, and he's kind of looking for potential assists. I just think this hasn't really, this assist prop for Derek White has looked terrible the entire series, but with like Porzingis not playing, the shift in the role and how the Mavericks should kind of try to guard, you know, I think you're getting a really, really good price here. And it's a very different prop from like a basketball side of things that in game 5 here than it was in game 1 when the series started. Cause he was hanging on the dunker spot and can't really get assists at the dunker spot.
Okay. Last but not least, bringing home for us, Dante Exum. What do you like for him?
We're going random, a little random here. So we're going Dante Exum over 0.5 assists. So we just need one, minus 125. When you look at this entire series, I think Jason Kidd has been trying to figure out who can bring up the ball, who can push Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving off the ball. You remember even game 1, you know, Luka Doncic was trying to bring up the ball. Jaylen Brown was harassing him. He picked his pocket a couple times. You just don't want Luka Doncic working that hard for like offense and defense because they're targeting him so much. And I think Jason Kidd, now that we're into game 5, I think he has a lot more clarity on like who that player is. We didn't really know Jaden Hardy, Tim Hardaway Jr., kind of going through all these names. I think it's Dante Exum. And you look at Exum too, he's also someone who shot the ball really well on those above the break 3-pointers. You talk about a lot because that's just what the Celtics are giving up. They're they're choking off the three-point, the corner threes, but they're willing to give them up, you know, higher on the wing there. And Exum shot it well. He shot it well last game. He knocked some threes. One was called back because his foot was out of bounds, but he hit two other threes. He is also someone, the Mavericks, there was a big, like, you could see there's a very big effort on pushing the ball and increasing pace. There was a couple of times Luka Doncic was even, like, showing his speed dribble. It was hilarious. He was like, obviously they were yelling at him, like, let's go faster, faster, faster. And, like, Dante Exum is someone who can push the pace on the ball. He's someone who can play on the ball. So I just think this is being priced like he's not really going to play. It's a really low number for Dante Exum. If he gets the minutes, I think he might. I think you have a really, really good edge here. There's also kind of the side, if the Celtics do blow them out, you know, someone put in the chat there, -19.5, and this gets away from him, he could also play in garbage time. So I think he's going to get minutes in a close game, but there's also that side of it too. So there's a little bit of a protection there on this bet as well.
Yeah, he had a nice dunk there in game four. Yeah. Okay, so this might be the lock of the series, fading the live viewer poll here. And I'm seeing here producer Mick sharing with me, 75% of live viewers think the Celtics win tonight. And he says, congrats to the Mavs, because I think you'd be 4-0 if you faded the results of that poll here. Checking in on the live chat, Nick Newport Jr. I recognize that name. Good luck with the plays tonight. And a female viewer, Teresa O'Brien, dropping in some emojis there for us. Some very enjoyable stuff. If you guys are watching live right now, about to rip through Major League Baseball, if there's any plays you like on the diamond, drop them in that chat. Man, what a rough weekend it was for the LA Dodgers. Both Mookie Betts and Yamamoto are going to be out for probably, I don't know, at least a couple of weeks here. So probably their best hitter so far this season. Probably their best pitcher, too. So that is not good for L.A. Okay, here we go. David CK07. So we went 3-1 in the MLB picks on Friday's show. So going to try to replicate that. Maybe do a little bit better here. 4 picks on the diamond, couple pitcher props, and a full game money line. Let's get right into the action here. Let's start in Philadelphia, where Christopher Sanchez is on the mound. Going to go under 2.5 earned runs for him against the Padres. So he's been lights out at home. Fantastic at home this season, where he has a 1.95 ERA, a 1.64 whip. And most importantly, he's 6-0 against this number. So he's gone under 2.5 earned runs in all 6 of his starts at home. He's also been fantastic at bouncing back after a bad start. He wasn't good last time out. He allowed 4 earned runs in 4 innings of work in Boston. However, the previous 3 starts this season, where he allowed 3 earned runs or more, he followed them up, pitching fairly deeply into the game, allowing 2 earned runs or less all 3 times. And he's taking on a San Diego team that is simply average, probably worse than average versus left-handed pitching, and in the bottom half of the league versus lefties and OPS over the course of the season and the last 30 days, if you're looking at something a little bit more recent. Okay, let's go to Chicago, where we have the same bet for both starters here. Jordan Hicks, let's start with him here. Right-handed pitcher, under 2.5 earned runs. Chicago, the Cubbies, really slumping versus right-handed pitching. A 509 OPS over the last week. That's last in baseball. Open the sample size up to 30 days. 26 in OPS versus righties. He is 5-1 against this number on the road. 11-3 overall. And here's a little sneaky thing about Jordan Hicks. This guy typically has a very, not a very short leash, but a pretty short one. He typically doesn't go beyond 5 innings, which is obviously ideal for an earn run prop. So he could get yanked at the first sign of trouble beyond the 3rd inning. It's not rare to see him come out of the game before the 75 pitch mark. He hasn't pitched beyond 5 innings in 8 straight starts. So he's probably not going to be out there for very long. So let's hope he gets off to a strong start and can hold the Cubs to under 2.5 earned runs. Let's go to the other dugout and take Javier Assad under 2.5 earned runs, -105. So he's 6-0 against this number at home, where he has a 1.67 ERA. He's been lights out at Wrigley. The Giants are a below average team versus right-handed pitching, 23rd in OPS over the last 2 weeks. And early game offense has been an issue for San Francisco, 24th in runs scored in innings 1 through 5. This is also a guy who typically doesn't go very long into the game, so this should give him an opportunity to get off to a pretty good start and allow fewer than 2.5 earned runs. And let's wrap things up with a good old-fashioned full game money line bet with the Milwaukee Brewers in LA versus the disgrace that is the LA Angels, the team that had both Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and has jack shit to show for it. We'll fade them. Take the Brewers here. Jose Soriano on the mound for the Angels. He's getting smacked at home. A 5.54 ERA in 6 starts. The Angels are 1-5 in these games. Youngster Carlos Rodriguez on the mound here for Milwaukee. Better days ahead for him. So he had a season debut against the Blue Jays. Wasn't great on the surface, but probably had some bad luck considering he allowed a batting average and balls in play of 500. Despite doing a decent job of limiting hard contact, I do like his chances versus the Angels, who are 25th in both OPS versus right-handed pitching and OPS at home over the last month of the season. And probably the best reason for this bet is just a massive gap between these bullpens. Over the last 2 weeks, bullpen ERA, 4th versus 30th in favor of the Milwaukee Brewers. So there we have it. A 4-pack of picks on the diamond here tonight. Since 2005, from Kevin here in the chat, since 2005, teams that lost in the NBA Finals by 30 or more points went 4-0 straight up and 4-0 ATS in the next game. Only 4-game sample size, but still. Yeah. Some people, I hate small sample size guy. Like sometimes, John, I'll put out like a stat or something on Twitter and some betting, I hate to say betting nerd, but it is a betting snob. And you criticize super small sample size here. And like I say, a sample size has to start somewhere. What do you want to do? Go back to the guy's rookie season to figure out like, well, I don't know, when he was pitching in high school, you know, he didn't do very good when pitching on the road during day games. It's absolutely ridiculous, some of these guys. But there you have it. So, yeah, a pretty nice trend there that does favor the Boston Celtics here tonight. So you had a good Father's Day weekend, John. You were at the – did you attend all 4 rounds of the LPGA tournament?
All 4 rounds. You know it. Yeah. We
baking in the sun, drinking some beer.
Yeah. You know what? I got to give him a shout out because – I feel like we're in an era where sporting events, there's like obviously huge price gouging and like we've kind of not lost the plot a bit here, but like taking care of fans. So on Sunday, it was 90 degrees on the golf course. I went up to buy some waters and they're like, oh yeah, the course, the whoever's running the tournament just said, give away water for free today because it's too hot.
Oh, look at that. Class act. You know,
it's like I go to this tournament every year. It's like they treat their fans amazing. It's the best. I have a great time. We unfortunately didn't win our bets, but we've had great success winning our bets the last like 5 years. We walked away with no green check marks this time, but we had a couple good sweats and it was fun to like follow around. I do think I'll throw it out here for the golf people. If you're going to a live golf event and we should have done it, we didn't do it. I think the best sweat is betting like that 18 hole matchup or like the 18 hole three ball and just following that group and having like one bet in that group and just following. It's really hard to follow. Like, you know, you have a top 10, they're all over the course and stuff, but if you just followed one group, I think that's a tremendous sweat as like a better. So me and my dad were talking about that. We'll probably bet a couple more of those next year.
There we go. I had a nice Father's Day weekend myself. I attended a screening of the movie Garfield on Saturday afternoon. It was okay.
What about no Inside Out 2 for your kids?
No. Well, my youngest boy's 4 and we felt that, Garfield would be more appropriate.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was okay. It was too long. How is Garfield's an hour and 40 minutes long? Come on now. Who's your audience here, Garfield makers? Yeah, it was okay. You know, it was a rainy day, so got out and had some popcorn and went to a movie. The kids had fun, so it was a good time. But we were back hard at work here looking to have a profitable week on the hardwood and on the diamond. So we're going to be right back with you guys on Wednesday from a different location. We have a company-wide retreat, but we're not taking any time off of the show. John, tell the people where else they can find your work this week.
You can find, you know, the covers picks page, putting picks for yes. NBA, probably Dinger Tuesday. We'll have to see. I can't place bets when I'm in Nova Scotia because all my accounts get ghosted, but maybe I'll put some in there for Dinger Tuesday or I'll get them up before I even fly out tomorrow morning. So that covers pick page. You can find me on X at John Mettler. And Thursday, we will have a release show 10:30 a.m. with Adam Scherher from EV Analytics if there is a game six. So that's to be determined. Lastly, do you have any bets for the cover slow pitch game tomorrow night? I'll take Jingles over strikeouts and Mookie over home runs. Those are from last year.
I'm going to be looking to draw a couple walks out there.
Walks?
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. No need to show off. And, you know, you don't want to hit the ball too hard and injure another player out there. You know what I mean?
No. Because I played slow pitch with my friends and there's very few home runs. And then last year I played in the cover slow pitch game. There's a lot of guys who can go yard in our, you'd be surprised in our company. There was like four, five, six guys easily were clear on the fence.
Okay. Yeah. We shall see the dimensions of the field. Looking forward to that. I got to pack the ball glove for the trip now. Okay. We will leave it at that though, guys. Looking forward to game five here tonight. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Best of luck with all of your bets and we will catch you again on Wednesday.